No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manouk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this evening on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manouk, with Ezra Ginsberg, I am your host, Drew Mandel, here to discuss this evening's 4-3 victory by the Washington Capitals over the Winnipeg Jets, a victory coming in overtime after the Jets squandered a very early two-goal lead, yet fought back to tie it up 3-3 late in the third period prior to the Capitals winning in overtime. Gentlemen, I say good evening to you both. Nice to see
good
you
evening.
On this Tuesday night. How are you both doing? Dave, first of all, let's start with you. You have the best news of the day. You tweeted it out. No matter what happened in this Winnipeg Jets game, nothing was going to supersede the news that your grandparents, who've been married for 71 years, your grandmother is out of COVID protocol, and she's back with your grandfather. So that's priority number one to address tonight's show.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's thanks for the intro, Drew. That is true. My father is out of COVID protocol, which is I've been doing a lot of these COVID updates, so I figured I would do it in the form of a COVID transaction.
Throw your baba in there, Dave.
But my baba, yeah, I'll do it on the site. But my baba Shirley, who's 94 years old and tough as nails, and she managed to she contracted it, but thankfully she's good. And of course, that meant my Zeta, who's also 94, and as you said, have been married for over 71 years. They had to be separated, but thankfully they were reunited today. And I tweeted out the video, and they're both ecstatic, and he is the definition of the word dedicated. So he's awesome. I did a Sam and my baba both doing well in their 90s, still rolling.
That's good. That's the best news.
Manouk gene is very strong, Dave.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't skip a generation.
Technically it's a Kleiman gene because it's on my mom's side, but
there you go. Well, in any event, good to see that news of the day. We hear, of course, though, the talk about the Winnipeg Jets. They drop a 4-3 victory, as I said, to the Washington Capitals. It started great for the Winnipeg Jets. Can't ask for a better start than the Jets got with the two early goals in this contest, including Cole Perfetti's first as a member of the Winnipeg Jets, his first career NHL goal. We'll talk about all of that. But then it sort of got progressively worse for the Jets as the game went on. I guess I think the number one takeaway from tonight's game, guys, is everybody's going to be holding their breath, waiting to see the health status of Nikolaj Ehlers.
Can we get into that right away?
Get into it. Go. Let's
well,
go
that's
for
a
it.
That's a kneeing penalty. I tweeted that out. I mean, that's a kneeing penalty all day long, boys. Like, how many people watching that game,
yeah,
saw that and were like, oh no, that was fine. I mean, Orlov stuck his knee out, and I'm not saying that it was a major, but at the very least, he has to get 2 minutes there. No, Dave. Like, I just don't know how that wasn't a penalty.
You know, it's funny because I originally looked at it and I thought to myself, especially when it's first blush, you see these things quickly and you just kind of, you're thinking to yourself, okay, it was what it was. It didn't look, if the ref didn't call it, maybe there was nothing there. Of course, then you watch it slow down, then you watch it a little closer and you're thinking to yourself, like, you know, it was an unnecessary play. It was knee on knee. He turned into Ehlers.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Ehlers is shifty and he shifts and, you know, he's quick, but I mean, to me, Orlov moved into Ehlers in a way that was avoidable.
Yeah.
And unnecessary. So to me, you know, that's for sure, you know, at minimum a penalty for the refs to call. And you could see how incensed Nikolaj Ehlers was on the Jets bench with, you know, even just the action itself, but then to, you know, as they say, to add insult to injury, literally, to have no penalty called on the play. You know, the dynamic Dane was less than pleased. And shortly after, you know, the hit transpired and he was on the bench, he, as Dennis reported, went to the dressing room and we didn't see him for the rest of the game. So, I mean, that's not a good way for the Jets to start this road trip, of course, because they just got Nikolaj Ehlers back, having obviously been in COVID protocol and not having him available for that trip to Detroit last week.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times when it comes to a guy like like Nikolaj Ehlers. You know, to your point, he is very shifty. You know, a guy might think he's lining him up for a legal hit, and then Ehlers moves at the last second, and there's an incidental contact or something ends up being a lot worse than was initially intended.
That wasn't the case, though, here, Drew.
That wasn't the case here at all. This was, I mean, Ehlers and Orlov just went right at him. Ehlers didn't move, and Orlov went in knee first. I mean, that is a textbook, to your point, Ezzy, that's a textbook kneeing penalty that somehow four officials or two officials and two linesmen missed on the ice. And I'm not quite sure how they missed that, because it's not like the play was anywhere else. Ehlers had the puck a second before that happened. You know, everything about that was a blown call by the officials. What'll be interesting to see now is if there's any supplemental discipline as a result.
There should
be. My guess is that there will be, especially because of two reasons. One, there appeared to be an injury sustained by Nikolaj Ehlers on the play. I mean, certainly for the rest of the game, who knows what his status will be for Thursday's game. And we're not about to speculate unless Dave Lowry says anything in his post-game comments. We'll bring those to you on the Illegal Curve post-game show. And second of all, I think when the officials miss the call on the ice, they tend to then try and make up for it by assessing some supplemental discipline afterwards. So it would not surprise me if Orlov misses a game or two games as a result of that hit. Of course, that being said, that doesn't do the Winnipeg Jets any good if Nikolaj Ehlers is out of their lineup for the foreseeable future, which I'm not saying is the case necessarily, but it certainly didn't look good for the dynamic Dane and one of the Winnipeg Jets' best players.
Yeah, we hope that he's back for the next game against Nashville. And Dave mentioned, I mean, that's his first game back, you know, coming out of COVID protocol. And also, I'm sure this was going through your guys' minds as well, even though, you know, overtime was, you know, ended pretty quickly. But you probably have Ehlers out there, right, to start, or at the very least, you know, if it goes 2 or 3 minutes, right, Dave, like you're going to have Ehlers out there. So it's kind of the
one of the Jets' most dangerous players is at 3-on-3, given all the time and space out there.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just unfortunate. And look, I mean, I think, you know, the Jets definitely deserved a point here. I mean, you know, I'm sure we're going to go into some goals here, but I mean, in that first period, guys, like the Jets could have, you know, easily been up 2 or 3 goals, right? Instead of just up by the goal. Vitek Vanacek was really solid. And, you know, we talked to Samantha Pell of the Washington Post about the goaltending. I mean, the Washington Capitals are definitely, you know, a top team in the Eastern Conference, but the goaltending's been a little bit hot and cold. And obviously, you know, you didn't have Oshie, you didn't have, you know, John Carlson, you didn't have, who am I missing here? You had another player, Connor Sheary was the other guy.
Connor Sheary, you
could say that the Jets, you know, didn't have Blake Wheeler, didn't have Paul Stastny, didn't have Brendan Dillon. So I don't think either team really had the quote unquote injury advantage. But, you know, on that game winning goal, I mean, it's, you know, kind of, I think, emblematic of the whole game as a whole, right? I mean, obviously, you know, the third goal that Washington scored, it was pinball, right? Like with the wraparound, you know, going off of skates and everything like that. And, you know, in that particular case, to me, it was really Evgeny Kuznetsov's individual effort, right? Like he makes a really good defenseman look, you know, pretty average in Josh Morrissey, right? And obviously, I'm not faulting Josh Morrissey there, but I mean, Tom Wilson comes in and he's not picked up, right? Because Scheifele just, you know, just doesn't tie him up and just doesn't get in front of him.
Never mind tie him up. He didn't even, I mean, well, let's get into that goal after we, you know, after we start with the Jets goals, because the Jets opened the scoring at the 1:02 mark of the first period. I couldn't ask for a better start for the Winnipeg Jets, a team, of course, that hasn't played in, you know, 6 days since last Thursday in Detroit. And this was the Capitals' third game in the last 4 days. They played, of course, they played Saturday, Sunday, and then tonight. And it's Kyle Connor, his 21st of the year, assist to Andrew Kopp and Mark Scheifele. And it's a power play goal. And, you know, it was a great start. The, you know, opening shift for the Jets, they draw a penalty. And as a result, they immediately get onto the power play opportunity. And Kyle Connor makes no mistake. He's able to, you know, capitalize on that. And it's a 1-0 lead for the Jets, barely a minute into the game. And it's everything you could ask for a team that hasn't played since Thursday, Ezzy.
Absolutely. You know, sorry, I thought Dave was going to go there.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, the start could not have gone any better, like you said, Drew. I mean, that's what you want to do when you've been off for 4 days. You want to take the crowd out of it a little bit. And yeah, it was just a, you know, fortuitous bounce to Kyle Connor. You know, kind of thought that first power play unit, guys, was hogging the ice a little bit tonight. And obviously, I mean, you know, they were getting some chances, especially in the third period there. They were actually on the ice. Was that the Carl Hagelin penalty, if I'm not mistaken, when the whole power play was the first power play unit? So I mean,
2 minutes.
Yeah.
So then he had the breakaway right after the
exactly. when
the penalty expired.
Yeah, and a really good save by Hellebuck. We should mention that. That wasn't an easy save that he made. Hagelin's a speedy, skilled player. But yeah, on that first goal, Kyle Connor just, I mean, it's like you run out of things to say about this guy, right? Like 21st goal of the season. You know, he's not getting as many power play goals, you know, as we expected him to get, but that's a big one. But let's get into the big one here, because I know probably Dave M was tearing up a little bit because game number 5 in the NHL, Cole Perfetti gets his first goal. That's the goal I want to talk about, boys.
Cole, as you said, Cole Perfetti gets his first as an NHL player, at first as a Winnipeg Jets player. That comes a minute and 18 seconds after Connor opened the scoring. It's at the 2:20 mark of the first period. Cole Perfetti from Pierre-Luc Dubois and Kyle Connor getting the secondary assist. A great pass from Dubois, who was a monster in tonight's game, and Perfetti made no mistake, a goal scorer with a great shot, Dave. Great for Cole Perfetti. You know that eventually it starts to creep into your mind when you're going to get that first one after you're up to game 3, game 4, game 5 in the NHL.
Yeah, and we, you know, look, we've seen this a lot with the Manitoba Moose. He has 15 goals, I believe, in the AHL. So, you know, scoring is something he can do. He's got a wicked shot. And one of the things for, you know, a player like Cole Perfetti, and, you know, we've been talking about this for a long time on our show, is if you want to have success for some of these players, put them into roles they're familiar with. You know, put Cole Perfetti into a role that will see him have success with guys who are playmakers like a Kyle Connor, like a Pierre-Luc Dubois. I mean, he's a facilitator. I think he's a phenomenal passer. And he'll probably be a little too deferential in terms of taking a shot. But you know what? We saw when it's almost instinctive for him, and he just wired that shot home. And you know, his comments to Sarah during the intermission, you know, I can't believe I scored, what he said to Pierre-Luc Dubois after he scored. He says, I can't believe I scored a goal in the NHL. Well, you should believe it, because, you know, again, he has the skills to be able to do that. So you know, it's a big moment for him. I think it removes a lot of pressure. There's a lot of young guys right now who are having success around the NHL, you know, from his draft class or around his draft class, I should say. And I think because of that, especially because he's such a high pick, there's a tendency to focus on him and when he's going to have that success. Well, he's now got that monkey off his back. He can now put that behind him. He doesn't have to answer that question, and he can kind of focus on playing. And obviously, you know, when he's on the second line, he's got, or first line, whatever we're calling it, you have to be able to perform and be able to put the puck in the back of the net or facilitate your teammates putting the puck into the back of the net. Well, now he started to do that. And like I said, it may start to come easier. Skating's still going to be something he's going to work on and going to have to work on. But puck sense and ability to shoot the puck, that's never going to be in doubt with Cole Perfetti.
And wanted to mention this, too, about Perfetti. I don't want to harp on this too much. But, you know, speaking of the first power play unit basically being out there, Perfetti, I just checked, because that was something that I wanted to watch tonight, as a lot of people do, right? Because, Dave, you know, with this time with the Moose, I mean, he can create some scoring opportunities. Not only can he create scoring opportunities, he can score goals and set up goals. That's what I meant to say. And he only played 5 seconds, right? Like, I was just thinking, did he even play on the power play? But the whole second power play unit didn't really play at all, right? So that's something that I think, you know, the Jets coaching staff probably didn't love, because, you know, in a game in which you have 4 power play opportunities, yeah, they got the early power play goal, you know, a minute into the game. But to me, that was a little bit of a, I think, a detriment to the Jets tonight, in that you didn't have a player like Perfetti, because he was playing well and you'd kind of like to see him maybe, you know, score a goal on the, or at the very least get some scoring chances on the power play. So again, I'm not saying that that was the reason why the Jets lost tonight. Like, look, this was, you know, a game that went into overtime and the Capitals got a kind of a little bit of a fluky goal, not taking anything away from Alexei Protas, because, and look, he's a guy, you know, that's trying to establish himself, and it was just a fortuitous bounce. But I mean, I don't think, like, I thought overall the Jets played a pretty solid game. Like, the second period, I don't think you love. But I think, you know, for the most part, you love the start. You love how they tied it up late. And then obviously, you know, they don't have Ehlers, one of their most dangerous players, in overtime. And again, I'm not saying that that was the reason why the Jets lost in the overtime. But again, it's just one of those things that I definitely think that they could have used him. Ehlers was good in his first game back. I know.
Well, let me stop you right there. Dave Lowry, this is courtesy of our friends who've tweeted it out. Murad has tweeted it. Sean Reynolds has tweeted it. Dave Lowry says Nick Ehlers is not going to play in the next game after taking a knee from Orlov and leaving the game. And then it follows up and says, that's probably all I can offer you right now. So well, Ehlers on Thursday against the Nashville Predators. And of course, the back-to-back Saturday, Sunday, you wonder how quickly he'd be able to recover for that. But if I was a betting man, and Lord knows I am, I'd expect that you're not going to see Nikolai Ehlers for the remainder of this road trip as a result of that hit. Now, I might be getting a little bit ahead of myself, but it seems unlikely that if they're already ruling him out for Thursday, that means that he'd be that quickly able to bounce back and be ready for the turnaround on Saturday and Sunday.
As you know, Drew, they being head coaches or whoever is usually feeding us this information, which is usually the head coach when they're doing their post-game press conference, usually they don't say that unless it's going to be something a little bit more serious. So I agree with you. Again, we're not going to get too far ahead of ourselves because there's three games left on this road trip. But yeah, that's just awful news. And that's even more reason why, that should have been a penalty. I'm sorry. I realize, officiating is a tough job, but that was a pretty easy one, guys. And I think, now that we know that Ehlers is going to miss at least one game, you wonder if Orlov, if it's not a fine, you wonder if he gets one game.
Well, now you're saying, and now they're sort of, I'm just reading the tweets as they're coming in. It sounds like it's going to be much longer than that. I mean, Mike McIntyre saying that Dave Lowry says Nikolai Ehlers has already been ruled out for Thursday night in Nashville and likely much longer than that. So clearly going to be not a quick day-to-day kind of injury for Nikolai Ehlers based on the comments coming out from the Winnipeg Jets head coach right now. Ehlers will be reevaluated tomorrow, but will likely miss more than the one game, which is just absolutely terrible news for the Winnipeg Jets. Terrible news for Nikolai Ehlers. Hope is Paul Stastny will be able to return on Thursday. So, obviously not going to be an apples for apples trade between
Ehlers and Blake Wheeler's coming back soon, right? So, Ehlers, I mean, the Jets are getting healthier, but.
Yeah, I know, but just
still don't like to see that.
No, you don't like to see it, and it's one thing if it's incidental. It's one thing if it's a fluke sort of situation, Dave. But when it's just a bad hit, it's a bad hit by a player who should know better, because Dmitry Orlov has been around the NHL for a long, long time, and he knows what's legit and what's not legit. And I'm sure he'll say all the right things about it, but that should result in supplemental discipline. But this is the NHL, so spin the wheel, spin the roulette wheel, and we'll see where we're going to land, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely unfortunate, but I have to echo Ezzy's comments. When a coach comes out and says, it's like when Paul Maurice came out and talked about Blake Wheeler's injury after that Canucks game on December 10th, you knew, okay, when coaches are forthright, it's never a good thing, because usually these guys always hedge their bets. They always say, well, we'll have to evaluate him in the morning and we'll let you guys know tomorrow, because of course the Jets are scheduled to practice tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville at 12 o'clock. Check the practice report at legalcurve.com. So, nice. Of course, that's generally when they'll share that information. We're not in a new era. I think it's just a reality of these guys knowing like this is a serious situation, or it could be that he's throwing down the gauntlet a little bit. But my guess is that you're right, Drew. I think this is a more serious situation with Nikolai Ehlers if the coach is coming out and saying that sort of thing right away. So yeah, tough, really tough for Nikolai Ehlers, because he didn't play the last game in Detroit. He finally gets back after being on COVID protocol, and he looked good, but of course, it's one game and then all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. So that's tough, but I mean, it's just one of those situations where this is going to be another opportunity. Today during the media availability, they talked about Paul Stastny, being able to come back, and he hadn't skated. Dave Lowry said that Stastny hadn't skated in 5 or 6 days, so he wanted to get him some skates in before. He didn't want to just throw him into a game. So my guess is he'll skate tomorrow and he'll be in the lineup.
Go right onto that line, Dave. Right? Yeah, like, that's right. Honestly, exactly. Like, nobody will be surprised. not every player can just step right back onto the top line. Or as Dave said, I don't know what we're calling the top line these days, because, you know, if you ask me,
it's probably the one with Dubois and Connor.
I was going to say Dubois, Connor, Perfetti would probably be my first line if we're just basing it on production. And how these guys look right now, right?
Effectiveness.
Perfetti's not going anywhere. He's sticking on that line, especially after scoring his first NHL goal. So yeah, there's a good chance that you're going to have Stastny. And guys, we know what Stastny has done in Bridgestone Arena. Just go back to the Nashville Jets series, had a couple of goals in that second round series, right? So yeah.
Pekka Rinne's not in that anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point, Drew. Pekka Rinne was pulled pretty early from that game. I think, you know, as a whole, you're happy with this game, but I think, you know, it's hard to not look at this game and now just talk about Ehlers and how he's going to be out of the lineup now. You just can't avoid talking about that.
Let me ask you guys this question. The Jets are obviously up 2-0 early in the game. They're losing 3-2. They tie it up late. They get the 1 point. In your mind, is this a point gained by getting the game into overtime, or is it a point lost by not getting the full 2 points? Dave, you start first.
It's a fair question because you had all the momentum in the game. The 2-1 goal, I watched it probably 100 times trying to figure out who was at fault, because, you know, it was a nice pass up from, I don't know,
Kuznetsov.
It was Kuznetsov who got it up to Ovechkin. Mm-hmm. And then Stanley has Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Kind of weakly, you know, swings his stick at Ovechkin. The puck goes to Hathaway. And then Schmidt's coming in, and it's almost like a change crossover, right? So Schmidt takes Hathaway, which would necessitate Stanley recognizing he has Ovechkin. But instead, Stanley gets stuck in no man's land, and Ovechkin goes right to the soft spot with nobody around him. And of course, I mean, as much as you want to say Connor Hellebuck's a Vezina goaltender, I'm sorry, Alex Ovechkin with that much space and that much time there's not even a chance for Connor Hellebuck. So, I mean, there were mistakes made, right? And there were mistakes made on the second and third goal that allowed the Capitals to get back into the game. So, you know, I mean, I think of like Adam Lowry failing to clear the front of the net. I mean, with about a foot on who was it that he had in the front of the net? Who was it in front of the Jets net was it Orlov? No, it wasn't Orlov. I don't remember. Anyways, the point is that Lowry had someone in front, couldn't get him in front. And then,
sorry, Dave, I would have helped you out, but I think I might have been, you know, tucking my daughter in for bed at that point, because with these early games, like, where I actually, Naomi was tucking her in, but she wanted a hug. So I had to leave the game. So I might've missed that one, but I can't help you out there. Sorry.
No, it's all good. It I guess, like I'm saying, it doesn't matter. Like, the point is, if you look at it, you think, okay, it wasn't the cleanest of games by the Winnipeg Jets. Now, Washington is a team on a bit of a, they're still a good team. They're on a bit of a slide, obviously, of late, the way they've been playing. But you know what? I mean, ultimately, you know, if you have to say, is it a point gained or a point lost? I would say it's a point gained, simply because, you know, if not for Pierre-Luc Dubois' goal with 65 seconds left in the third, you're leaving with zero. So, I mean, yeah, ultimately you put yourself early into a position to win the game, but ultimately, you know, hockey's a 60 minute game, sometimes 65 minutes or less. But the reality is, you know, you have to play the whole 60 minutes of regulation. If you don't, then you have a very good chance of going home with nothing. Jets managed to salvage at least a point. So in my view, it was at least a point gained.
Yeah, it's a point gained. I mean, obviously, I mean, there's no right answer here, Dave. But yeah, I mean, I think if it was one of those games that was tied, you know, for the last 10 minutes of the game, and then, you know, that's how the game ended, you would say it was a point loss. But I mean, the Jets battled hard. Give them credit. I mean, they had a lot of pressure on the Capitals late in that third period, right? Like, they were working for that goal. And kind of just going back to Ehlers, like, I mean, Scheifele, Kopp, and Ehlers, guys, you know, I guess 5 to 10 games into the season, we were kind of talking about how we wanted to see that line together. And I thought, for the most part, they were pretty good tonight. Like, Scheifele was pretty solid. I mean, take away what happened in overtime on the Tom Wilson goal and his back checking. I realize, you know, he's getting a lot of criticism on Twitter right now. But, I mean, they played a good game. And I think Kopp had 5 shots. Scheifele had 6 shots on goal. Like, I mean, these guys were shooting the puck on net. And they were, I thought, you know, skating well. Like, they were playing with speed, as Kevin Sawyer likes to say, you know, 50 times a broadcast. Like, I mean, they were good. So, I mean, I don't think, you know, there's too much criticism to throw around there. And also Lowry, Harkins, and Pagansky. Like Pagansky,
I thought Pagansky was terrific today. Yeah,
drove the net in the third period. And that's the thing we talked about on the Saturday show. Like Pagansky won a national championship at UND. This is a guy that was one of the top offensive players on the best college team in the US. So I mean, this guy isn't a slouch. Like Dave talked about it. I mean, he can tear it up with the best of them in the beauty league, right, Dave? So, I mean, look at Pagansky. It's just great for him, first off, that he's playing NHL games, because we know it's just a matter of time before he's going to go, you know, back down to the AHL, unless he's on the taxi squad. Should mention that. But yeah, Pagansky, Harkins, and Lowry, I thought were really good. And yeah, Lowry, you know, a few times, had some trouble in his defensive zone. He's obviously a very responsible defensive center. But yeah, that line I thought was really good. The fourth line, we obviously, you know, I don't think they had a big impact on the game tonight, but that was all obviously a little bit to do with the fact that, you know, the Jets were trailing. But yeah, overall, guys, I mean, if I'm giving like a letter grade on this game, I'm probably giving the Jets like a B+ in this game.
Yeah, you know, I thought they played pretty well. I thought Vitek Vanacek certainly played way better after the 2-minute mark of the first period. He settled down and had a number of good saves, even in the first period before Ovechkin made it 2-1. There were times where it was almost 3-0 for the Jets. I mean, Cole Perfetti had another golden opportunity that
Andrew Vanacek Kopp as well.
Save. Andrew Kopp with his breakaway. I mean, Vanacek was the, you know, when you're down 2-0, you sometimes rely on your goalie to keep it at that 2-0 margin. Because if it's 2-0, you're still within fighting distance. When it's 3-0, you're really climbing uphill. And Vanacek, I thought, was very good, and he kept the Capitals in it. I thought the Capitals got better as the game went on. I don't know that the Jets necessarily got better as the game went on, but then again, it's probably hard to get much better than scoring 2 goals in the first 2 minutes and 20 seconds of the first period. But, you know, I didn't love Connor Hellebuck's game tonight, to be perfectly honest with you guys. I thought the second goal, which was the Orlov goal, talk about pouring salt into the wounds. That came at the 4:26 mark of the second period, the point shot. There was traffic, yes, and it certainly may have been tipped, but I didn't like anything about his approach to that shot. I thought he was almost passive on it. He wasn't aggressive in trying to come out to get the puck before a redirection would take place. It just seemed like he wasn't square to the shooter. I didn't love Connor Hellebuck's game tonight, to be perfectly honest.
Drew, why are you so pissy tonight?
You know what? What can I say, Jim Matheson? Just the way I'm going to be. We'll talk about that after the break, because I think it's worth. Boy, the Oilers are just a shit show of epic proportions right now.
Unbelievable. I mean, I love it. I love that whole thing from both of them. But yeah, I mean, this wasn't Hellebuck's best game. I mean, it wasn't even close to one of his best games. Almost felt like he was fighting the puck a little bit, right? Like, I think, you know, you can say that. And, you know, there was some puck luck for sure, guys. Like, that's the thing, right? Like, you know, we analyze these games. We do the post game show every night, but like they were getting, you know, some bounces.
Some of us do the post game show every night.
Ooh. Well, yeah, I mean, I you know, boom. Yeah. Well, you guys know that Marissa is the one that lets me know if I can do the post game show. So if Marissa says I can't do it, then I can't do it. That's obviously an old school reference, but
that went over my head. I was like, yeah. What the hell's... I'm like, did you get remarried?
Yeah, exactly. No, come on, old school, man. Come on, Drew. You got to rewatch that or something. Classic movie.
Hey, look, I love old school. That one went over my head.
And you are old school, so you got to watch old school. But yeah, that
goal, I agree. It was just called school when I went there.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. Well, it's funny because when Dave went to China, I said, in China, they don't call it Chinese food. It's just food.
I use that line in Beijing.
Yeah, exactly. And it went over pretty well, right?
Lucky you didn't. They sent me
back to Canada.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're lucky you didn't get disappeared there, Mr. Minook.
I'm not gonna touch that.
I was like royalty. I stayed in the same hotel as Kim Jong Un. Not kidding. His father.
Anyways. Was the wall as great as you thought it was gonna be?
It was pretty cool, actually. Yeah, I have to say. And it was, I actually got to see it like in the northern part of China. So it was like the highest, it's very, very, the angle was very significant. Although I did see someone shockingly wearing high heels walking the wall.
That seems like it would be a difficult thing to do. Not recommend it.
You would think so, but
what tourist, like, who knows that they're, because the thing is, like, if you're in China and you're going to you know, I've never been to China.
Took a real veer.
No, but I'm just saying, like, who is, like, you know, as they're getting ready to go to the Great Wall, is like, I think I'm going to wear my high heels.
Yeah, it's a good question.
You never know when you need your stilettos, I guess, Ezzy. I honestly can't even remember what were we talking about before this tangent.
I have no idea. Chinese food, bad jokes. Somehow. I mean, just inappropriate non sequiturs. I have no idea.
Old school. Go backwards. Come on.
Good evening, everyone. If you're still with us, God bless you. This is the Illegal Curve post game show.
Everybody's still with us. What are you talking about?
You never know where the conversation's going to veer off to here on the Illegal Curve post game show. Drew
Mandel, Dave Manuk. What's going on?
Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you on this Tuesday evening talking about the Jets 4-3 defeat in overtime at the hands of the Washington Capitals. What I was talking about, if I recall now, is I wasn't in love with Connor Hellebuck's game tonight. Just wasn't vintage Connor Hellebuck, and, you know, just didn't seem like he was as sharp as he typically is. And I'm not saying that he's the reason why the Jets lost, because that would be a bridge too far, but it was just a factor in that I thought that, you know, truthfully, that Vitek Vanacek probably outplayed Connor Hellebuck in terms of, you know, the grade A saves and the high danger opportunities. The Jets probably had a few more, certainly earlier in the game, than the Capitals did. And it was Vanacek's saves that kept them in it. You know, and prevented the Jets from going up 3 goals rather than the 2 goals that they were up early in the first couple minutes of the first period.
The only thing I was going to jump in quickly, Drew, on your point about Connor Hellebuck, I thought the third goal and the overtime goal were both somewhat problematic. He seemed overcommitted on one side. And then, of course, the wraparound goal goes in off Schmidt and then off him and into the net. And I thought he was way too much on the right side committed there. And then he wasn't able to push off and get back in time to really protect his neck. And similarly, in the overtime, when Kuznetsov drove him wide, he was really far on the left-hand side, which, of course, when he tried to get back, I mean, that was just such an unusual goal. It was so anticlimactic, right? Like, you thought to yourself, okay, you know, overtime, we're used to it there being a little bit of high energy, and it was just like, oh.
It's over. Now we go through
the short overtimes. It's the worst. Like, it's even worse in the playoffs, right, Dave? Like, sometimes you'll, like, you know, go to the bathroom and then, you know, a goal scored and you miss it, or you're going to get your snack, in my case, getting those nachos in the oven, right? And then you miss that overtime. But yeah, I mean, the Alexei Protas goal is the goal that Dave was talking about, the third goal that I think it was Schmidt's skate, right? That it went off of.
Yeah, it went off Schmidt's skate.
It was almost like, and again, guys, like, it's easy for us to sit back here and nitpick and criticize Hellebuck's game.
Isn't that what we're supposed to do?
He's probably the best goaltender in the world, or at the very least, he's a top three goaltender. So obviously, that nothing's changed there. I just want to get that out there. No. But he wasn't, you know, his best tonight. And again, you know, we're not saying that he was the reason, like Drew said, that they lost the game. But I mean, on those goals, it was you rarely see the one thing with Hellebuck that you rarely see. I mean, aside from bad goals getting let in, is you rarely see him out of position like that. Like, remember, that was the big criticism with Andre Pavlik. Like, he would overcommit and, you know, he would put himself, and he was a very athletic goalie, as Hellebuck is as well. But, yeah, I mean, and you wonder, because Washington has so many skilled players, even with, you know, no Oshie in the lineup, you know, with guys like Ovechkin and Backstrom and even, you know, Tom Wilson,
Well, you know, you wonder about the lack of, you know, when you know, goaltenders especially like to get into a rhythm. And when you play, you know, once every 5 days or once a week, like the Jets have been playing, you wonder if that maybe impacted Hellebuck and his just, I mean, it's almost like when you're a goalie, you know, the sixth sense regarding your positioning, because you're absolutely right, Dave. He was out of position in the sense that he was overcommitted, and he was, you know, he wasn't within the blue paint. He was too far on the outside of one of the goalposts on you know, both goals, and on the Orlov goal, he just didn't seem like he was square to him. So I wonder how much of a factor sort of the inconsistency in gameplay is a factor with that. And I have no idea. I mean, that's something that we could
that's
ask
a good point.
Kevin, I mean, Woodley would be a guy, you know, our goaltending guru.
And he has no goalie coach to help him.
There you go. And his goalie coach is in the COVID protocol. You're right.
And I think it's a good point that you bring up, right? Because, you know, we talk about, obviously, when you know that you only have a game every 5 days or 6 days, you know that the practices are going to look different, right? Like, you know, in a regular schedule, when you have a practice, you know, just between games, I mean, you know that they're going to simulate and they're going to work harder and keep the pace up and all of those cliches, right? But I think you could make a strong argument that the goaltender is probably impacted negatively the most, you know, by the lack of games. And again, you know, Hellebuck has been fantastic. He shut out the Detroit Red Wings. Like, let's not, you know, like, again, I don't want to make it seem like, you know, we're coming down on Hellebuck and saying that, you know, he's in a slump or anything like that. We're just looking at this game in a vacuum. And we're saying, you know, a couple of the goals were very un-Hellebuck-like is what I would say.
Absolutely. Let's talk about what ended up being the, well, I guess we can talk about, but the tying goal for the Jets, it came late in the third period. Pierre-Luc Dubois gets his 16th of the year, assist to Adam Lowry and Mark Scheifele, comes with the net empty after the Jets had failed to capitalize on their late power play opportunity. They, you know, I was watching the power play and everything was on the exterior of the power play. Nothing was getting into the dirty zones. And then the Jets finally get the puck into the dirty areas and Dubois is there to capitalize. And it's, you know, obviously what Dave Lowry has been preaching so often since he's become the interim head coach of the Winnipeg Jets. That's where the goals are scored and Dubois gets the goal there. And it's just hard work and it's, you know, just loose pucks. And there's nothing pretty about that goal, but it's effective nonetheless because it gets the Jets into the overtime period, which they barely held on to. I should add that last minute of play was entirely in the Winnipeg Jets zone. And the Capitals came close on a few occasions to maybe getting a
1 second left. Ovechkin had that chance from the circle. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly a little bit hairy moments for the Jets, but they did get it into overtime thanks to Dubois. Look, it's the All-Star game, so it doesn't matter. But the fact that Scheifele was the Jets' last man standing candidate over Pierre-Luc Dubois, again, it doesn't matter. You know, for the fan vote for the final representative of the Central Division.
Who picks that, by the way?
I have no idea. I don't
know. Whoever made that choice was the wrong choice.
I think it's the NHL, and ask anybody in Winnipeg.
Nothing says you don't pay attention to a market.
Yeah.
Then that selection.
How was exactly. Steve? Like, I realized, like, Hedman was the representative from Tampa Bay, but Stamkos was the mail-in or man, last man in, whatever it's called. Like, it's just funny because what is he, fourth in the NHL in scoring or fifth? And so is Kadri. So, yeah, I mean, we have these debates. Let's just be thankful, I should say, that, you know, we aren't talking about John Scott or, you know, Zemgus Girgensons. Like, remember back in the day when we were in 1290, it seemed like every year we were talking about, like, why is this guy in the All-Star game? So let's be honest. Nobody's going to be watching.
Why are we talking about an All-Star game?
That too. You're absolutely right, Dave. I'll tell you what, let's take our commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Capitals overtime winner. Tom Wilson gets it. Talk about the blown defensive coverage by one Mr. Mark Scheifele on the Winnipeg Jets and talk about some of the roster decisions that are upcoming for the Jets, particularly as it relates to the back end with Brendan Dillon quite likely set to return to the lineup even as early as Thursday night in Nashville. Everybody hang tight. We'll be right back. It is the Illegal Curve post-game show talking about the Jets and the Capitals. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos.
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer.
With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hey boys, finding parking on game day shouldn't take longer than the Manuk minute.
It shouldn't take longer than 1 minute?
Yeah, less than a minute? I spend at least 20 driving around to find street parking. Or if I'm in a rush to the game, I'll shovel out 20 at a parkade.
You're both doing it wrong. There's this app called Grid Park. It lets you find and pre-book your parking spot on game days. And you can reserve your spot up to 1 month in advance. And guess how much you'll pay?
Tell me, Dave. You know I love a deal.
Ezzy, $5.
Come on, $5?
Yeah, and it's just 2 blocks from the arena.
The Grid Park app?
Yep. Spelled G-R-Y-D Park. And you know what else?
There's more?
Our listeners get their first park free with the code FIRSTPARK.
Wow, so they just download the Grid Park app and pre-book their next game day spot for free?
Yeah, you got it, Ez. Promo code FIRSTPARK. Only on the Grid Park app.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
It's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two. This holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For 3 generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Bottom of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg with you talking about the Jets. They were defeated 4-3 at the hands of the Washington Capitals. That coming in overtime, the Jets record moving to 17-12-6 on the season, now tied with the Calgary Flames. The Flames in action tonight at home against the Florida Panthers. Former Flames Sam Bennett just scored for the Panthers to cut the Flames lead in half. Now
he's having an unbelievable season.
I know he's having a great year. 2-1 Calgary leads Florida. Obviously, Jets fans hoping that the Panthers, the juggernaut Panthers, I should add, are able to complete the comeback. So that would result in the Jets and the Flames being tied in the standings, 4 points behind the San Jose Sharks with 5 games in hand on the Sharks. So that's where things quickly, a quick look at the playoff picture. Yes, Dave M, you got a finger up.
Worth noting that there will be 250 fans at the Panthers-Jets game and the Jets-Canucks game.
Yes.
So that news came out today. We've got it on illegalcurve.com for anybody who's interested. Season ticket holders got an email from the Jets today that they were going to have 250 tickets available, obviously, because that's capacity due to the regulations. And for both the Jets, 2 games at the end of the month, and the Moose, the next 4 Moose games, we'll also have 250 people at max. So there'll be some folks in the building at least for the next few Moose and Jets games, and hopefully back to something that resembles normality soon.
Yes, that would be very nice indeed, and time will tell if that's the case. But at least, you know, there'll be some home games in the after this road trip.
And quickly, Drew, sorry.
Yeah.
Joe from Winnipeg's asking, when's the new schedule coming out? Because the Jets, of course, have 9 reschedule or postponed games, 6 home games, 3 on the road. And tomorrow, the answer is tomorrow, Joe. They're going to be out tomorrow. And, of course, LegalCurve.com will have the schedule.
There you go.
Like, boys, could we see like a back-to-back-to-back? Like, are we going to have Jets games 3? Obviously, I'm joking, Drew.
CBA doesn't allow for it.
It would be amazing, though, if we could finally get a Jets-Moose game same day in the same city.
Yeah, you've been – well, they did that last year, Dave M. Just the Moose were playing at the Iceplex.
I think Drew's right.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that I'm not wrong on this one.
I'm pretty sure Dave was in both buildings.
I was going to say, you might be right, actually, because I think it was I don't remember, though. I don't think so.
I think so. You can look back in your record.
Teleporting maneuver.
Believe me, last year is a blur because I was in like so many. It's just so many games.
It's okay. Let's talk about the final Capitals goal, the game-winning goal. I mean, it's a great individual play by Evgeny Kuznetsov, but it's also a absolute microcosm for Mark Scheifele and his just absence of defensive awareness. And I don't know. I mean, it's hard to believe that it's going to click for him at any point in time. I think this just might be what he is as an NHL player. Just a guy who is completely fish out of water when it comes to his own zone. Because not only does he... So he's the trailer on the play. Not only does he not pick up Tom Wilson, but he chases Kuznetsov, who Morrissey is chasing. He chases Kuznetsov behind the net at the same time. If you're not going to pick up Wilson in that instance, which is what you're supposed to be doing, at least go to the other post, the far post, because that's, you know, Morrissey has the near post where Kuznetsov is making the net drive. It's incumbent on Scheifele to at least go to the far post to prevent that wraparound, or, you know, as he tries that, you can then take the puck and transition it up the ice. Instead, he just... you know, follows Kuznetsov, even though Morrissey's got him. Nobody picks up Tom Wilson as a result. Kyle Connor is the third man in. That's not
well. That's what I was going to say as well, Drew. Like it was clear that, you know, Scheifele. It was Kuznetsov was Scheifele's guy, right?
Well, no, I think it's Morrissey's guy.
Well, no. But I'm talking about like the play starts in Washington's end. And Kuznetsov just skates from his own end through the neutral zone. And Connor lets him skate because he's like, okay, Scheifele's got him. Center, right? And so, you know, he goes into the zone and puts a really nice move on Morrissey. I agree with you on Scheifele. But also, Connor's coming back and he's kind of coasting back. And then Wilson goes by Connor. So, I mean, like, it's not all on Scheifele. It's not all on Morrissey or Connor. But that's a goal where... all three players weren't really aware, I think, or didn't execute their defensive assignments. Well, so I just think that overall, that goal, like 3-on-3 overtime, there's a lot of ice out there. Sure. Kuznetsov is a top line center. He's one of the most skilled players in the entire league. Like he gets, I think, sometimes overlooked a little bit. It's kind of similar to Malkin and Crosby. I don't want to go on a tangent here. Kuznetsov's an excellent player. And I know, you know, Drew, what's going through your mind. He has fallen asleep a little bit or gone missing in the playoffs. I'll give you that much. Sometimes maybe 2018 notwithstanding, right?
But I mean, if Kuznetsov ever put it all together for, you know, he's one of the most talented players in the league. There's no question about that.
Yeah, he doesn't necessarily do it enough, especially, you know, when it really matters in the playoffs. But I agree with you. I mean, that's really inexcusable. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we're talking about this because Scheifele in particular, because that has been the knock. I mean, Scheifele has been a point of game player for many seasons now, but it's that defensive, you know, side of the game that, you know, always kind of bites him. And it's kind of the fundamentals of hockey as well. Like we're not talking about anything too complicated here. You know, he just needed to, you know, go to the right man and tie Wilson up. Like look at Tom Wilson, you know, say whatever you want about Tom Wilson. I mean, the guy, you know, has an impact on the game, not just physically. The guy could score. Like, look at his track record. This isn't a guy that all of a sudden just, you know, became a good hockey player. Like Wilson's there's a reason why they gave him that contract, right?
Look at the block. He blocks a shot off the knee. Wasn't the best block, but he blocks it off his knee. He's in pain, gets up, goes to the bench, comes back like the next shift, right? Like, so you're right. The guy's a warrior and they obviously have enough faith in him that you're right. He's not a plug because they're putting him on in overtime.
He's going to get 25. He's going to have 25 goals again.
No, but I'm saying if he wasn't any good, then he could be very easily exposed. But instead, he, you know, does what he did. And
that's even more reason, Dave, sorry to cut you off, that you got to be aware on the ice. Like Scheifele's got to know, okay, like, you know, Wilson's coming in, you know, to Drew's point. I mean, you know, I thought there was a little bit of that too, as we talked about earlier in the show, was it the first goal? That Ovechkin scored? Did he score the first goal or the second goal? Kind of the same thing, right? You had a couple of Jets kind of going to the same player and you didn't have Stanley identifying Ovechkin after he, you know, there was the old crisscross where Stanley's got to take Ovechkin, right? So, and because Schmidt was with Hathaway there. So, I mean, I think the Jets know, it's not like they don't know that this happened. I mean, they know exactly what happened on the goal and they have to be better. And I mean, we've said that all year long, but you know, if the Jets want, not only if the Jets want to be a playoff team, you know, they're going to have to, I mean, we talked about it. It's an uphill battle now, like, right? Nashville, Boston, Pittsburgh, like these are really important games coming up, and the games coming up in Winnipeg are also going to be tough, right? Like Florida is arguably the best team in the league right now. Right. I'm not talking just about points. I'm talking about like overall as a team. And Vancouver's playing much better since Bruce Boudreau took over. Elias Pettersson's starting to score like the old Pettersson, right? So, like, you got five challenging games coming up, and you ideally, you know, want to win, you know, at least three, most likely four of those five games to really, you know, start climbing up those standings. So, the Jets are going to have to be better, even though you earn that point by scoring the goal with a minute left. I mean, it's kind of inexcusable what happened. That was just. It was too easy for Kuznetsov on that goal.
I would agree with that completely there, Mr. Ginsburg. Let me ask you guys this question. It sounds like Brendan Dillon's going to be ready to go Thursday. If not Thursday, then likely this weekend. Who comes out of the lineup? I mean, is it a certainty in your mind that it's Dylan Samberg? Or could it be a guy like Logan Stanley who exits the Jets lineup? I mean, he did not have a great game tonight. I'm not sure that he's necessarily had a great season. So how do you think, and Dave Lowry's been pretty clear that the players that are playing the best are the ones who are going to be in the lineup. So from your perspective, how does the Jets defense change if and when Brendan Dillon's back in the lineup? Dave, I saw you champing at the bit to get in.
No, I mean, I think it's going to be a test of what Dave Lowry's, if he's going to put his words into action, because I think there's no better time. I didn't think Logan Stanley had a good game tonight. And I thought that he made a couple of mistakes that ended up in the back of the Jets net. Mm-hmm. So Dylan Samberg's been solid, and Dylan Samberg has been, decent with Neil Pionk. So I wonder, you know, Dave Lowry has spent the last few days saying, I don't care what the name is on the back of your jersey. I don't care what your salary is. If you're going to play and you're going to give our team a chance to win, then we're going to keep you in the lineup. Well, now is the time for Dave Lowry to have to put that to the test, because we know he's going to put Brendan Dillon back in the lineup.
Yeah.
So, and Dylan Samberg is a very Brendan Dillon-esque type of defenseman. He stay at home. He's big. He's physical. He's got a bit of a mean streak. So he's kind of like what Brendan Dillon is already. I mean, I'm not saying that they're equal. I'm just saying that's what the prototype of Dylan Samberg most likely is. So that's why he's fairly seamless with Neil Pionk as well. But in theory, if you're judging based on performance, and I know Logan Stanley's coming off of being day-to-day and dealing with COVID, but at the end of the day, like, it should be Logan Stanley coming out. I mean, I'm actually surprised, to be honest with you, that Ville Heinola didn't go in instead of Logan Stanley. I thought that he probably, based on the way he's been playing in the American Hockey League, deserved a shot at least to get some action into for the Jets. He hasn't had an NHL game this season, of course. He's been doing very well for the Manitoba Moose, as I talk about quite often, but no, I don't think there's, like, to me, this is going to be the big test of what Dave Lowry has been preaching, which is, you know, based on performance, that's what we're going to, how we'll determine our lineup, not on any other factors. So, you know, to me, Logan Stanley could have a seat. You could put, you know, Dylan Samberg with Nate Schmidt if you want to reunite Brendan Dillon with Neil Pionk. I mean, that's kind of the nice thing about this Jets lineup, is you do have a fair amount of versatility in that regard, and that you can mix and match these D pairs fairly easily. But yeah, I've seen no reason to take Dylan Samberg out of this lineup. He has not done anything that's been a negative. What were his minutes tonight?
Just under 11. Yeah.
10:57. Yeah. And it's interesting. So I was going to say Samberg was 10:57. Logan Stanley was significantly more, 16:05. So an extra, you know, just over 5 minutes, Stanley played more than Samberg tonight. So you wonder, which is interesting, because it's not like Stanley was playing that well from my perspective,
right?
Yet he did get that way more ice time than Dylan Samberg. So you wonder if Dave Lowry and Charlie Huddy in conjunction maybe saw things differently behind the bench than we saw watching through the television screens.
I think it might be, to Dave's point, I think it might be Stanley that comes out. And, you know, Samberg, obviously, you know, his first game, he gets his first assist. And mm-hmm. and plays more. I forget what it was. It was I think it was closer to 20 minutes. So he plays less tonight. But I think there is a chance it's Stanley. And I don't think that means that Stanley's going to be, you know, healthy scratch for the next 10 games or anything like that. But I think, you know, Lowry's approach we know has been different than Maurice, even if in a very short sample size, as the head coach I'm talking about, not as the assistant coach. So, I mean, look at, I mean, I think Samberg is not a guy that we expected to necessarily see at this point in the season, just because, you know, for the first, you know, 20 to 25 games, the Jets D pairs were, you know, exactly the same. And then injuries and COVID started to happen, right? So I'm with Dave. I mean, we obviously don't know, you know, what the move is going to be, but, you know, I think you have to start really kind of looking at, you know, Ville Heinola, and if a guy is struggling, you know, what are we doing here? Like, the top six when healthy should be your six best defensemen. And obviously, depending on, you know, the situation, the team, maybe, you know, you substitute a guy in or you go 11-7 like we saw earlier in the season. But I'd have to agree with that. And look, I'm a big fan of Logan Stanley. I know we all are. But when you have guys that are, you know, just champion at the bit, like we talked about, you know, it could happen. But I mean, there's also a good chance just based on, you know, Samberg being kind of the new guy into the lineup. And also there's factors with the Moose, right, Dave? Like, you do have to factor that in. Like, you know, where do they see him? Do they see him, you know, sticking around on the taxi squad for now? I mean, there's a lot of moving parts, right? So,
and the taxi squad, they're only confirmed, I think, right through the All-Star break.
Well, that's it. It's not even confirmed. I don't think they're there. Once it's done, the All-Star, I don't think they're going to, they're not, I mean, it would be shocking. I mean,
especially
I don't
think changes, especially with the changes in COVID protocol, though, because they're no longer after the All-Star game or after the, you know, when players come back to their team after the All-Star break, they're no longer doing asymptomatic testing, which is what really caused a lot of guys to go onto COVID protocol in the last month or 6 weeks.
Yeah. So that's why I think that the taxi squad will be eliminated. And as you said to, I think, Mark in the chat, really the Jets don't have any issues in terms of lineup until Blake Wheeler needs to be activated. And then, of course, that's when cap ramifications become a little more significant and having to move guys to the taxi squad and that sort of thing. So for now, the Jets don't really have a lot of issues. And, of course, with Nikola Ehlers, you never know. That could, I guess, alleviate some concerns if he's, I mean, in a negative way, obviously, if you need to put him on something like LTIR, because that would, you know, free up, what, about $6 million in cap space.
We'll just contact Julian Brisebois and ask him what to do with LTIR.
But, you know, look, I mean, right now, if we're just talking about, like, there's a couple things. Like I said, Dave Lowry's talked about this need for young guys to play. So if Ville Heinola is not going to play, send him to the Moose. You know, they've got a game tomorrow against Iowa in Iowa to end their six-game road trip, which they're 4-0-1-0 on. And if not, then you bring him home. And sorry, when the Moose come home, then what you do is you let him play against Chicago. Huge series this weekend for the Moose. You know, them and Chicago are running away with the Central Division right now. So that's going to be an unbelievable tilt between those two longtime rivals. And so you've got a chance to get these guys into meaningful games. I suspect, and we'll find out tomorrow, because of course the Moose had a number of players in COVID protocol. And Leon Galanke, the 2017, sorry, fifth rounder, he's been a monster. He was really good. I think Daniel said that he played over 30 minutes in the game, the last game. So, I mean, he's been unbelievable. And so you have an opportunity to get Ville Heinola. And I saw one of the comments about Ville Heinola hasn't been very good. I mean, guys, you know, if you don't watch the AHL, it's hard to comment on what a player is doing. Ville Heinola has been very good at the AHL level.
He's one of the best defensemen in the
game. So you got to be a little hesitant with the grandiose statements about what he is and what he isn't. I mean, he hasn't proven himself at the NHL level. I'll give you that. He's been pretty good at the AHL level.
Hold on a second. How many games are we talking about here? Like,
well, no, but I'm just saying.
I know you're not saying that, Dave.
Yeah, of course.
Like, are these the same people that said Logan Stanley was never going to turn into an NHL defenseman? Like,
sure. I mean,
get that out of here.
Yeah, I think what it comes down to, though, is that essentially you've got a guy who, if you're going to need him, if you're going to not use him at the NHL level, then send him to the AHL, let him play the big minutes, and then when you need him, call him up, because this doesn't serve him well at all. And, you know, when it comes to Dylan Samberg, I would be inclined to keep him in the lineup when, you know, Brendan Dillon returns and he gives you kind of he's just a more effective player right now than Logan Stanley.
Could he be your quote-unquote seventh defenseman? I mean, I think that's something.
I think it's a waste. As I just don't see a value in using a guy like Dylan Samp. Like, again, send him to the Moose. Then he'll play 20 minutes a game with Johnny Kovacevic or any of the guys, and it's so much better for his development than sitting around getting you know, scraps with the Jets in practice.
Well, and I and you know, I'll preface that by saying that, you know, if he is, what I was thinking is he wouldn't be your kind of regular healthy scratch seven. Like, he would offer you more than Nathan Beaulieu, for example, right? Like, I'm not saying Nathan Beaulieu, nothing against him, but he would most likely get into the lineup more, you know, not need the like 11-7 situation. That's when Beaulieu was really starting to get into the lineup more, when they started to go to 11-7, right, Dave? So I agree with you. I'm not saying, you know, that's going to happen, but, you know, if we're kind of having that debate, guys, about, you know, who's coming out, Sandberg or Stanley, like, I think a lot of people were surprised, myself included, with how well Sandberg played in his first game in Detroit. So that's all I'm saying. I do think he is most likely, once everybody, you know, gets back and into the lineup, and all, you know, we're through this COVID mess, you know, in 2 weeks from now or whatever, as we talked about, the All-Star break is obviously going to be the end of the taxi squad, most likely, right? So just something to think about. I think, you know, we were only really talking about Ville Heinola kind of as a guy that was kind of, you know, knocking on the door, right, to get into the lineup. But Sandberg is another guy. I mean, we know it's just a matter of time before he's going to be a full-time NHL defenseman, right, Dave? So,
well, and look, it basically set itself up to be a good problem for the Jets to have, because you've got, you know, you've got a lot of guys on the left side, right? You've got Declan Chisholm, you've got Ville Heinola, you've got Dylan Sandberg. So, I mean, I think what's important to note is that Logan Stanley isn't guaranteed anything. I mean, yes, he's a 2016 first rounder, and yes, the Jets have invested a lot in him, and yes, the Jets, you know, essentially kept him over Mason Appleton. Although, how good would Mason Appleton look right now on the Jets' third line? How effective, how important would he be potentially? Especially, can you imagine if you're the Jets and you knew, we have all these young guys who could play on the left side. Maybe they made quite the error in judgment there. And of course, hindsight is 2020 or 2014, if you want to have perfect vision. But
Why is 2014 perfect, Dave?
It's a good question.
I always thought 2020 was perfect.
He's not an optometrist, but he might know one.
I know. Well, actually an ophthalmologist. Come on, Drew, please.
I know. Sorry. I knew she was a fancy eye doctor.
Whatever is not perfect vision is what I have. Because now that I'm getting up there in years, boys, like, I've noticing, like, actually the other day I had to take a picture of something and then zoom in on it on my phone because I couldn't read it. So
let's just say that
I might need to pick up a pair of reading glasses one of these days.
Yeah, look, I think bifocals for you there, Mr. Ginsburg.
I think I'll just wrap it up here. I think the Jets have a good problem in the sense that they've got a lot of good young D prospects they're learning can play in the NHL. So Dylan Sandberg has shown that he has been reliable. Ville Heinola, again, at the AHL level has been excellent. Can he translate that to the NHL? Well, we'll see if he's given that opportunity. 2017 third rounder, Johnny Kovacevic, who unfortunately for him, I thought he would have been recalled. Obviously, he had the COVID issue, so he was in COVID protocol for the Moose. He wasn't able to, but I expect he'll be back tomorrow. He hasn't played any of the road games for the Moose of late, so he's going to, I'm guessing, play against the Iowa Wild tomorrow. And even 2019 second rounder, Simon Lundmark, who really has been kind of like the seventh defenseman because there's been so many deep prospects with the Moose, he got a ton of value time. I think he probably played like 30 minutes beside Jimmy Olney, the Moose captain, the other night. So lots of good problems to have. But yeah, I mean, look, I think what it means is there shouldn't be a guarantee. You know, look, the Jets have, like I said, the Jets and the Moose have invested a lot of time and money and effort into Logan Stanley. He has rewarded them the way he was prior to this summer. Of course, the way he made that jump, none of us saw it. Like, I watched him every game. I thought he'd be a serviceable guy in the NHL.
And it's not also, Dave, the worst for him to have that internal push, right?
No, I think it's a good thing.
You know, like, we talked about it earlier in the season, right? And we talked about it earlier tonight. Like, it looked like, you know, the Jets were just going to keep rolling with the same six defensemen game after game. And then, you know, injuries and COVID happened. And then, you know, we start to see other defensemen like Sandberg and Chisholm. So I think, you know, it could be good not only for the Jets to have, you know, all of these good young prospects on the left side. It's also could be good for Stanley. It pushes him and makes him want to get better. Not that he doesn't already want to get better, but you know what I mean.
And I just want to end it here. This isn't just about Logan Stanley. I mean, the reality is it goes for Nate Schmidt. It goes for Josh Morrissey. It should go for Brendan Dillon. Based on what Dave Lowry said, if these guys aren't performing, then they'll find guys who can do it better than you. So to me, it's like I said, Logan Stanley is an easy one to pick on because he's the lowest man on the totem pole when it comes to Jets defensemen. But like I said, I think ultimately what it comes down to is there's like, don't tell me Johnny Kovacevic doesn't want Dylan DeMello's job or Declan Chisholm wants Brendan Dillon's job. Like all these guys want to be in the NHL now. They don't want to, spend another year in the AHL. So if they get the opportunity, they're going
to
do whatever they
can. Well, they might because they get to, you know, talk to you, Dave.
So. that aside. So I'm just saying Logan Stanley's easy to choose because he seems to be the lowest one on the totem pole. But I think ultimately, if you look at it, if you listen to what Dave Lowry's saying, it should be that none of these guys feel safe because there could always be an opportunity, and we're seeing it, that these young defensemen are hungry and they're ready to take that next step and take a shot at being a full-time member of the Winnipeg Jets.
On that note, we move to the Tough Duck hardest-hitting comment in tonight's post-game show. Mr. Ginsburg, you have the comment ready to go. Who is getting the toque from our friends at Tough Duck?
I always love to give out the Tough Duck toque when it's, you know, minus 30 outside and there's a blizzard. I shoveled when I got home and my shoulder is so sore right now. I was actually doing double layer shoveling. There was so much snow, like the snow drifts and everything like that. I know, Drew, that you have someone that you pay because you're fancy, so you don't have to shovel yourself.
I did it myself.
I'm just kidding. But yeah, I actually had to shovel the top layer before. Like there was so much snow, you couldn't just do it in one, you know, big
understood
thing,
what you were
right?
saying.
So let's get to the Tough Duck hardest hitting comment here. We're going to give it to Travis Brockie. I liked his comment. It was about half an hour ago. There you go. You got it up there. It was 9:22. I take Sandberg over Stanley right now. Let him watch and earn his spot back. Sandberg playing his way onto lineup. And I picked that comment actually before we talked about it. I thought it was interesting. And then I sent it to you in the private chat there because we're fancy and we have a little private chat going.
Yeah, you guys don't even want the audience doesn't want to see the private chat. That's a legal curve after dark. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, there's a lot of X-rated stuff. Just kidding. But yeah, I like that comment because even though Sandberg was a little bit quieter and he only played, you know, just under 11 minutes, he's still really solid. So if Dylan comes back, that's something to definitely, you know, keep your eye on, whether it's Stanley or Sandberg that comes out of the lineup. But regardless if Sandberg doesn't play against Nashville, I think he's shown us a lot in his two games. And as Dave has, you know, documented on the postgame show, on the Saturday show, on the website, I mean, Sandberg has definitely, you know, been patient and deserving of this opportunity. So it's just great to see him, you know, even if he only gets a couple of NHL games, it's, you know, it's been fun to watch him, you know, play and get his first NHL point.
Well, congratulations to Travis Brockie, the winner of tonight's hardest hitting comment, courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck. Travis, send Ezzy an email, Ezra@illegalcurve.com, with your mailing address, or slide into his DMs on Twitter at ICEzzyG. And give him your mailing address, and we'll make sure you get hooked up with the toque, courtesy of our friends at Tough Duck. Want to give a big shout out to all of our sponsors. They make this show. They make the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Saturday mornings, and they make IllegalCurve.com a possibility. Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Zappia Group Realty, Bernstein's Deli, Tough Duck, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, Rolly's Transfer, and Grid Park. Support these fine businesses because of their continued support of Illegal Curve Hockey. We remind you, the next post-game show will come your way Thursday night, right around 9:45 p.m., a key Central Division tilt between the Winnipeg Jets and the Nashville Predators. Join us after that game back here on our YouTube channel to talk about the Jets and the Preds on Thursday.
Smashville that like button. You like
there
that?
There you go. Smashville that like button. Very good, Ezzy. And it's going to be an incredibly busy weekend for us as well. 9 a.m. Saturday, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Right around 4:45 p.m. Saturday
afternoon. We're going to go bang, bang.
We're going to go bang, bang right around 4:45 p.m. Saturday afternoon with the Illegal Curve postgame show after the Jets and the Bruins. And then again, Sunday afternoon, right around 2:45 p.m., we'll go bang, bang, bang with the postgame show following the Jets and the Penguins.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What about the back-to-back Moose games, 2 o'clock, that I've got to figure out how I'm going to be watching a Moose game and a Jets game and doing a postgame show? I mean, and
just usually, clone yourself.
And usually the overlap isn't so bad, but like on Saturday, it sucks on Sunday. Because I think the Jets game starts at 12
noon. Yeah.
And so the Jets game starts at noon. Actually, that game might not be so bad because I might only miss the first period. I might have to do the post game show from the arena. We'll see if that Ezzy might have to join me in the. We'll see if we can get one of the boxes, and we'll just do a post game show while the second period of the Moose.
I'm only going to go in the box if Kodak Black is going to be in there with us.
Oh, God. Well, that's it. End the show. We're done.
Ezzy just took the private chat into the main chat. So yeah. Well done, Ezra. But yeah, so it's going to be an exciting weekend. We don't have Moose tickets to give away, unfortunately. I'm going to have a pile of them coming up towards the end because
there's nobody in the building.
Well, there's 250 people in the building, as I went on earlier. Fine. But yeah. Just to confirm there. Well, Frosty, we did kind of have a nuke Moose minute because hold on, what's the rush, Drew? We're talking. People are asking about the menu. You know what?
Drew's got a 10 p.m. sharp bedtime, Dave. It just turned 10 o'clock,
yeah.
And Drew has to get to bed right now. So the show has to end right this second. So you just have to stop what you're saying and let Drew end the show.
Well, no, but I will quickly just, I mean, Frosty, we did talk a lot about the Jets D prospects, which essentially are Moose defensemen. So I kind of did get a lot of Moose minute in. Moose, of course, on the road, won their last game in Grand Rapids. Really interesting game, actually, in overtime. Jeff Malak got thrown out of the game. He was pissed. You don't see that very often. But another big win for the Moose. And they are in Iowa. They're going to close things out against future Team Canada Olympian Eric Staal.
And probably captain of Team Canada.
Eric Staal and the Iowa Wild tomorrow night in Iowa. So that game will be tomorrow night. And then the Moose come home on Thursday. And they'll be home for four games. Two against Chicago this weekend, like I said, both matinees, and then two the next weekend against Abbotsford. First time we're seeing the Canucks' new farm club, the newest franchise in the AHL. Well, one of the newest franchises is the Abbotsford Canucks. So first time we get to see them because, of course, the games against them in December were rescheduled. So there's your Minute Moose Minute. And then we'll see what guys they've got back because, of course, there's a bunch of guys starting with Johnny Kovacevic, the Jets 2017 third rounder who was in COVID protocol. We'll find out about him and who they get back from the Winnipeg Jets.
There you have it, the Minute Moose Minute, because God forbid Dave not fit one of those in as well.
You didn't give me one on Saturday. I had to get one in today.
There you go. That's it for this
post-game. Drew can do his Wordle now.
Wordle only comes out once a day. I can't do it again till tomorrow morning, Ezzy. Till after midnight, and I promise you I'm not going to be awake at midnight to do the Wordle. You can do the Wordle for me that bright and early. Let me know if you get it right or not. In any event, the Winnipeg Jets dropping tonight's decision 4-3 at the hands of the Washington Capitals. The loss coming in overtime. We remind you, Thursday night we'll be back with the Illegal Curve post-game show right after the Jets and the Preds, 9:45 p.m. Central Time, give or take a couple of minutes. Join us back here on our YouTube channel. On your way out tonight, if you haven't already done so, smash the like button. We always appreciate that support. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to the show on podcast. Get it sent to your device each and every time we go live. For Dave Manouk, for Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Until Thursday night, we wish you good night. And good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.